My name is Romano Valentino. I'm married to one wife. I'll be quick. I have 5 kids, basketball team, and the 2 substitutes. So that's me. Can we open in John 11? If we can read it together just to honor God's word, please. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed Jesus, anointed the Lord with fragrance oil and wiped her feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, him who love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We're not going to read the whole text. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, the Lord, the entrance of your word gives us understanding. I thank you, Father God, Lord Jesus, the Lord, your word is going to change the attitude and the intent of our hearts. I thank you, Father God, Lord Jesus, the Lord, the hearts will be receptive and the mind will be open to receive. Father, we thank you, we give you glory, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, how many of us ever had a sick person at in your house? You're staying with them in your house? Is it only me? So, Lazarus, the chapter we have read, Lazarus was sick, right? If you have a sick person in the house, which means there is some things you have to do, which you cannot do when you have somebody who is normal, right? If everybody is normal, nobody is sick in the house, you can scream as you want. Even some food, there is food you cannot prepare because you have Lazarus is really sick in the house, right? So there is a difference when you have somebody sick. And this person who was sick comes from the family which knew about Jesus. They knew Jesus. Because Mary is the same Mary who actually washed Jesus' feet with the ointment, which was very expensive, right? All of us know that. That the same family, Martha was a friend to Jesus, Mary, but they had a person who was sick. They're not like me and you. We are different. We are totally different. We didn't come to see Jesus. I didn't. But I believe in Jesus because of his word, right? But these people, they knew about Jesus. Even when Jesus was coming to town, they knew which road he's going to pass, or what car is going, or what donkey is going to ride on. That's how much they knew him. Because Mary is the one who washed Jesus' feet with that fragrance oil, very expensive, and wiped her hair with her feet. So we see that in Luke 10:38, it talks about the Mary, the same Mary we're talking about. Luke 10:38. If you can check there quickly, I'll be. Luke 10:38. It says, "Now it happens, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Martha, Mary, who also sat at the feet of Jesus, heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him." You can see the people I'm talking about, they knew Jesus so much. But now, when they heard this brother, their brother was sick, the Lazarus, when he was sick, we see if we read this text. When Jesus heard about Lazarus was sick, the Bible said that when Jesus heard this, he said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God must be glorified." Actually, if it was me, Mary, I would have gone home because Jesus had already given me the answer. Actually, the title of my message is, Jesus have the final say. No matter what the situation you are in, only God has a final say. No matter what you're going through. Because when Jesus told them, this sickness is not unto death, that was the answer for them. They would have gone home. Because they knew about Jesus. They have seen the miracles. Guys, I never seen Jesus opening the blinded eye, but I believe it in the scripture. But these people, they saw it, pop like popcorn. So they had 100% to believe in Jesus. Are we together? But Mary, we see doubting Jesus. Because he says, now Jesus loved Martha and Lazarus. And then what Jesus did, we see that he went farther more. Instead of being where he was, he left that town, he went farther. Verse 9 says, And Jesus answered, are there not? But then behold, the one whom he loves is sick. That was the story which Martha came with, telling Jesus. And then Mary and Martha heard the verse. They heard the word which we're reading now from the mouth of God. They heard them. It was life to them. Because Jesus was the one talking to them. We get to believe them because it's a written text. But them, they had to sit with Jesus. They sat on the feet of Jesus and listened. They saw the miracles Jesus performed. But they forgot that Jesus was the resurrection and the dead. No matter what situation you are in today, Jesus is the resurrection. Whether it's workplace, whether somebody is sick at home, the resurrection is here. Jesus is going to resurrect no matter what situation you are in. Whether it's your marriage in the shambles, or you have neighbors who don't work with you, or things are not good at home, there will be a resurrection. Because Jesus came to bring peace. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, right? How often do we forget? We forget many times. Even if I come, many people are not remembered on the good things they do, but they're only remembered on the one bad thing they do, right? That's what we see. Same goes to the government or something. You see, like now it's campaign time. You find people, they will come and chew up and give the vote. But after they've given the vote, they say, no, it's not delivering. But did he come actually ask you, give me a vote? No, you went there by you. So many people tend to see the bad things. They don't see the good things in people. So Mary and Martha, they forgot what Jesus could do actually. They forgot how he healed the sick. And if they didn't forget, they would have known that Jesus can actually heal their brother who is lying at home. So verse 6 says, and so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days. Sometimes you won't get your prayer answered so quickly. We as Christians, I remember when I just got saved, I used to pray and the Holy Ghost, man, I'm feeling the God is in the room. But Paul says, when you were a baby, I fed you with baby food. Now, which used to take me 5 minutes or 10 minutes, it can take me 2 hours. Because there is growth, there is a process. So that's how God, you might pray and fast and do the catwalk in your prayer time and those things. Things are not coming through, but God is not deaf. He says he's not a man who that's in my lie. He's not a son of man that he should lie, nor a man that he should repent. Whatever promise he has made is yes and amen, right? Amen? Amen. So God's word to us is yes and amen. Whatever he has said is going to happen. It's going to happen in our lives. It might not happen in our time, but it might happen even in our children's generation. Amen? So there is a delay. Delay is not a denial. It happens. It doesn't mean that Jesus is a slot machine. You know, I tithe, I do all the stuff. What I tithe, I'm going to do kijing. And then the coins run. No, it's not. It's going to take the faith. It's going to take the trust in God. Because faith is actually, God honors your faith. It's not about how you pray. It's your faith towards God. Your faith towards him, he honors it. Amen? So, verse 11. These things he said after that he had, after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleep, but I go that he might wake up." Then the disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke to them of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. I'm going for the sake that he might believe. Nevertheless, let us go." So Jesus, actually nobody came back to tell Jesus, "You know, your friend has passed." But Jesus knew, because he told them. He told them what they're supposed to, actually the word which he gave them was, "This sickness is not unto death." Sometimes God will give you a word, and that word is going to take you on to stick on that word and pray that word and believe in that word. Their word was, "This sickness is not unto death." You just look at it. Nobody came back and said, "You know, Jesus, your friend is gone." But Jesus knew, Lazarus now has died. He actually said, "Now Lazarus is asleep." Okay? So, there he says it, "I am the resurrection and the life." Verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brothers. Martha, as soon as she heard, she came. So, actually Jesus was very far. Maybe he was on Kibuye roundabout, still coming this side. Mary heard about Jesus coming. She ran. She grabbed him and said, "Look here, Jesus, if you are there, my brother would have not died." The same person who Jesus told, "I am the resurrection and life." But he said, "If you are there, my brother, do you know, actually you're saved, you're sitting here, but there is even your family members who are not happy that you're saved. You come, dressed in suit or whatever, going to church, but they're not happy." Same thing. Martha, look at her story here. She said, "If you are here, my brother would have not been dead." But she knew what Jesus could do. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you have been here, my brother would have not died. But now I know that whatever you ask God, he'll give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise up again." Martha said, "I know that he will rise up again on the resurrection." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me should not die, but will live. And whoever believes in me shall never die. Do you believe in me?" That was a question to Martha. But Martha already has poured her heart to say, "You look here, Jesus, though you are the resurrection and life, now my brother is gone. 3 days, 4 days he's in the tomb. Written off already. They have written Lazarus off, but they knew that Jesus can do it." Many of our situations, our families can write us off, say, "You know, it's got saved, but let's see what Jesus can do for her. Or he's saved, let's see if Jesus can repair his marriage." But let me tell you something, Jesus is the resurrection and life. Whatever dead thing in your life, it will be resurrected. And God can do it. No matter how big it is, or no matter how small it is, Jesus can see through your heart. And nobody understands you like how God understands you. Amen? God knows you, because the Bible says that he knows even the number of your hair. The number, when you're combing this morning, he knows number 6 fell off. That's how much he knows you. That's how much he understands you. The Bible says that you are the apple of his eye. You are the pupil. Because once somebody coming to poke your eye, what happened? The eye closed. That's how much God, you are the apple of his eye. Amen? So, then he says, Jesus, 28, "And when she had said all these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "Teacher has come and calling for you." As soon as they heard, so Mary comes, and then we see the reply of Mary. Then Mary, when Mary had come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died." See, same thing. Mary says the same thing. "If you would have been here, my brother would have not died. My brother would have been alive if you had been here." But she knows he is the resurrection and life. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Come and see." Jesus wept. Actually, to me, Jesus didn't weep because of Lazarus. You know why Jesus wept? He wept because of their faith. He wept because of their faith, because Jesus already told them, "I am the resurrection and life." Guys, just imagine, Jesus is sitting there, the one we read in the Bible, sitting there, and then he comes, he tells you, "I am the resurrection and life." Let me tell you something, me, that only word, I walk in the street even if I have a dead child at home, because I know he is the resurrection. At the end of the day, who is the boss? He is the boss. Jesus wept because of their faith. They didn't have faith in him. Then he asked, "Where have you laid him?" And some could not dismant. So the people who were around them, they said, some of these men said, "Who opened a blinded eye also can keep this man from dying." Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." So, the man is dead. They know he's dead, but they still put a stone on it, on the tomb. Why? Is he gonna run out? Let me tell you something. There is many closed doors in your life. In my life too. But God is saying, take away the stone. This evening, we're going to roll away the stone from those closed doors, those opportunities. Let me tell you something. You're a Christian speaking in tongues, Holy Ghost filled. You are the one who walk on the street. You don't have a job. You are the one when the month ends, the rent, you can't even pay it. Your children get sick. You don't even have a medical aid or money to pay for the hospital. Jesus is saying, roll off the stone. Amen. The stone is rolled away. The stone has been rolled away. Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time the stench, for he has been dead 4 days." You see that? The family member comes running and said, "Look here, Jesus. They can't take away the stone now, because this man been dead for 4 days. 4 days, there is a stench inside there." Amen? I'm telling you, you can be here in church, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, but there's people who are not even happy that you're saved. I'm telling you. This man is dead. He was finished, dead. But one of the family members, the one who ran, is like, "No, you can't. He's stinking by this time. It's 4 days." Because the place where Bethany is closer to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is very hot. Of course, those 2 days, remember those times they didn't have freezes. There was no freezes. So they didn't froze the body or something. So there was a stench. But that wasn't the answer for that time. What he had commanded is to roll off the stone. Take off the stone. Roll the stone off your life. You're having a bright life. You're having a bright future. That's what God is saying. You're going to get the jobs. Your marriage is going to be repaired. You're not going to sign those divorce papers. Your children who ran away from home, they're going to come back home. Because the stone is being rolled away. Because Jesus is the resurrection and life. He has brought life to us. Amen? So, there is a thing. Then Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?
What was, actually her part was to believe. The first verse which was told to her, just believe. Because this sickness is not unto death. The sickness was to glorify Jesus, actually. So if it was to glorify Jesus, what was her work? Her work is to believe in Jesus. Believe in what Jesus has said. Now, Jesus repeats it again. He said, look here, you're becoming a stumbling block here. Your work is to believe in me. Just believe. Accept that I am a miracle worker. Remember, guys, to us, it's just to read this word and put it to action. God is the chef. We are the waiter. You waiter on the people. By you talking these words, you're waiting on them. You're serving them food which is made from heaven. Because this is not my word. It's his word. The Bible says he looks after his word to do what? To perfect it. Who is going to do the miracle? It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who opened the blinded eye. I am his arm and feet. Amen? So her work was to believe that Jesus can do it. Right? And then verse 41, it says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. 42. And I know that you always hear me because of the people who are standing by. I say this that they might believe that you sent me. So Jesus prays after praying, and then verse 43 says, now when he had said this, said, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Amen? Actually, God is calling all of us out. Amen? God calls us from your past. God calls us from different types of life, right? To come. Actually, the word calling out, the Greek word is kaleo. God calling you out. God calling me and you. No matter what the situation might be. It might look so hard that even getting out of bed in the morning, you're like, man, how do I start? But God is calling you out of that situation. God has taken away the stone. He is a God. He is a God, and there is nobody actually like him. Amen? So, Jesus calls out Lazarus, and then 44 he says, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with a grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with clothes. Jesus said to him, loose that man and let him go. Amen. So if somebody's dead, why do you have to tie him up? Did they actually know that because of what Jesus had said? And say, look here, let's punish this man and tie him up. He's already dead. If you're dead, even if they throw you in the river, you're gone. Because what is precious is gone out. But this man was tied. He was in the tomb tied. He come out of the tomb just with his feet tied together. There might be situations which have been tying you around, stuff which have been not going well in your life. Jesus is saying, lose that woman, lose that man, and let him go. No matter what the situation is. To me, this text here, I applied it on my life. That's why I wanted to actually talk about it. I would have prepared something else. Because I see what God's saying. Many times, actually, we close the door ourselves. Because we think God has rejected me or God doesn't know me. No. It's not like that. It's not like that, my brother, my sister. God knows you. And God actually has a plan and a purpose for your life. Like Lazarus. Lazarus' life was not going to end there. Because the scripture had to be fulfilled. Jesus knew that they will kill him. Because they did not believe. Instead of him dying of sickness, they will kill him. So no matter what going in your life, so long as you have life, you can still get up and walk tomorrow. There is hope. In Jesus. Because Jesus has given us this opportunity to live for him. Amen? Amen? God is good.
Yeah.
So the resurrection and life is visiting for you today. Is there people who want to pray with me? You know, you've been going through stuff. I'm not special. I'm the same. I go through the same thing. What you're going through, actually go through it, maybe even better than you do. So we can agree together. Because the Bible says that two will put 1,000 to flight, and one will put 1,000 and two will put 10,000. So by us coming together, praying together, we can stand, we can overcome, right? So I'm asking, if there is somebody who doesn't know about Jesus, you want to believe in Jesus, the man who I've been talking to, actually to me, Jesus became my father because everybody wrote me off. Nobody believed in me that I can do what I can do. So, it was Jesus. It was me and Jesus. I remember one day I was in South Africa. It's like my life. I've given my life to God. Everything is okay. But I didn't have a place to sleep. So, when I went to church, I had a place to sleep. So, I went to church and they used to call me a church boy. Or they nicknamed me a church rat. Because the rat always is in the church, so it doesn't go in. So that's how they call me. So one day I come from church and the people were saying, who is, they locked me outside. So I went into the park. I'm like, Lord, I was so bad. I could do this, I could do that, I could do this. But now I'm fine. But look what is happening to me. Just throw a stone and take me alive or kill me. But you know what? God had a purpose for me. Actually, that whole area, I remember that most of the young people got saved. And that area I'm talking about, these guys, you walk on the corridor, you find them with a knife. He can put a knife in your neck for just a cell phone. But those are the guys who used to come to me, it's like, Romano, please pray with me. Or the gang, from one part of the gang to this part, they have a misunderstanding and they call me in. They're like, look here, come and help us. Because these guys are looking for me, they want to kill me. So I'll come and that's how God does. His ways are not our ways. So God had a plan for me. Even actually, me to get married, it was a miracle. I'm telling you this because I'm not who you see. I'm actually bad maybe more than you. I've done a lot of things. To get married, it was a miracle. Me to go to Bible college, it was a miracle. I didn't pay even a cent, but I got a degree in theology. And through ICBTC. That was a miracle. God is the one who provided. So God had to take me, to separate me away, to take me that far in order to arrange my life, to put it together. Because my wife was here with my two children. I would have married to somebody in South Africa, but I hated it. I said, Lord, I don't want to be like my father. That's what kept me standing. Because I knew my dad made children all over. So it was easy for me to step into that curse and start planting the seed like my father. Or stand as a man and say, look here, I have to put this to stop. What I'm telling you, what God can do. I'm not here to glorify the devil. Because the devil did not raise Lazarus. Amen? So I remember I used to go in my bedroom and weep. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be like my father. I don't. And at church, because I was a sound engineer for a big church, it sits 8,000 people, morning and evening. So the girls could come, but I would tell them, look here, I have two kids. I can't be in a relationship because I have to do what God had told me to do. Let me tell you something. It's not me. It was God who gave me that revelation of his word. In order for me to step on that demon of my father, I had to go that route. Other than that, even my kids will have children all over. Because that's what that Italian dude was. That's his ways. I found out I had a brother in 94. I thought I was alone. I have a brother and a sister. So I can move from here, go to Nigeria and find another Valentino there. You get? So in order for me to come out of that, I had to sacrifice through the help of God. I'm telling you. So there is some demons you have to fight with. in order for you to realign yourself with God. It's not easy. It will never be easy. Let me tell you something. If you're a man and somebody comes to you and say, look here, Romano, I want to get married to you. I have a job. I have two cars. I have a house. Romano doesn't have even a flat. I was renting. You see how devils does things? It can bring somebody. Maybe you're looking for a man, bring somebody packaged properly, and you see it's like, man, this is an angel from heaven. Maybe check that cover, tear that cover off and see. It might not be the one you're meant to be with. So those are the things I was going through. But thank God, when I made that decision, when I finished college, I started working and made some money. I'm like, look here, I have to go and pay for my wife and take them to South Africa. Let me tell you something. That was the happiest thing ever God could do for me. But there was a price. So Christianity is not actually a bunch of roses. It's not like, you know, you find somebody brings a bunch of roses in your office and saying, Madam, thank you for the good work you have done for me. You know, you looked after me. No, it's not. Christianity is not like that. The Bible says that iron sharpen iron. There is a brother who will sharpen you in the wrong way. So, it's a walk of faith. The good thing is you have the manual. It's given to you, which is going to encourage you all the time. And through God, we can do this. With the help of God, actually. Romans 8:28, right? So God can help us. God can help us. Amen? Is there anybody want to accept Jesus? You're here sitting with us. You never heard about Jesus. The man I'm talking to, maybe is strange to you. You want to say, look here, Romano, I've been that way. I've messed up my life, but I want to have a clean start. Is there anybody? Anybody I can pray with? Or you are relating to this scripture. There is struggles in your life. You've been trying to apply for jobs. Doors have been closing. As the scriptures, as we read in the text, the stone has been rolled away. So you're having a right pass. If you want to pray with us, the pastors are here. We can agree with you and pray together. Amen.